And now we come to the gospel. One of the most encouraging gospels in the whole of the New Testament. Why? Because we see Jesus forgiving. Nobody loves Jesus and becomes a saint unless they know how much they're forgiven. Even Saint Therese, who, the fellow who heard her general confession at the end of her life, said this woman never committed a mortal sin in her life. But she knew that all of that, you see, was the grace of God. And she was saved. So let's take a look at this text, which is from Luke, and you know it. Everybody knows it. The Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Something missing, if you know Jewish customs. Bathe the feet of your guests that are dusty from the road, anoint, put a little oil on them as a sign of welcome. Anyway, now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee, bringing an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him. The scene, if you don't remember, people reclined as they ate. And so our Lord would be leaning on his left elbow and left side and eating with his right hand, and his body would be, you know, on a couch. So she came up behind him, and so she's at the other end from his feet, from his head, you see? And so she's there, as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. What a great extravagance, right? Wouldn't it be great if after confession we were ready to do that? Realizing what's just happened to us? We've been forgiven our sin. You go to confession like paying a parking ticket. You know, I lied 3 times, I missed Mass once, I did this, I did that, you know, and you pay your parking ticket and you go out. Forgiveness comes from love. No matter how you ask, you'll get the forgiveness. But the forgiveness that transforms is the one that can go so deep in us that it touches the love we have for the Lord and brings that action of God, our love for Him is His action, brings it up to the heart of our being and to the heart of our heart. So forgiveness is not just paying the parking ticket. It's replacing evil with good. And so that's what's going on here. So she's behind him there. And she's a prostitute. Everybody knows, a small town like Magdala, everybody knows there's Mary the prostitute. Reminds me, this is not really part of this, but there was a woman who had been a prostitute and went out as among the mothers of the desert. You know, there's fathers of the desert and there's mothers of the desert. Well, Mary was a mother of the desert. She was Mary the Egyptian, but she said, no, call me Mary the sinner. That's my name. I'm Mary the Sinner. And so they called her Mary the Sinner. Well, she was a sinner. She's not now, but she was. She was a prostitute. But the Lord touched her heart, and she just turned around, and she went and spent the rest of her life in prayer and fasting in the desert. And everybody came to this ex-prostitute, monks, nuns, lay people, to talk to her. Because she had so much wisdom and such a blessing of God. That can happen to any one of us. Okay. So, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were really a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. She's a sinner. She's a prostitute. You don't let prostitutes touch you. You see? And if he were really a prophet, he'd know that. You see? So then Jesus says to him in reply, Simon, I have something to say to you. Tell me, teacher, he said. And once again now, our Lord goes back to this biblical notion of sin being a debt that we've seen already, right? Here we have it. Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages and the other 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of the two do you think loves him the more? Simon, the careful theologian, says the one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven. Careful theologian doesn't want to do something stupid, so he says that. Jesus says to him, you've judged rightly. Therefore, this woman, whom you know is a sinner, is wiping my, you know, washing my feet with her tears, drying them with her hair, anointing my feet, you know, she doesn't feel worthy to even look at me, I guess. You see? You say, well, now, look, take a look at this woman now. You did not give me a kiss. This is frightful because of the custom of the day. You greet your guest. You wash his feet or have a slave wash his feet because he's been walking with sandals on all these dusty roads. You did not give me a kiss. But she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, which is another, you see, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Because, I can tell you that, because you can see what great love she has. She came to me, and she knows she's forgiven. So now, she's just showing all this love to me. The other guy didn't have one-tenth of the sins, I guess. Apparently. At least he didn't have the sins against chastity. What about the sins against humility? What about the sins against frugality? Well, we don't know. Might have been great all around, but except he's proud and he has no idea what's going on. You see? You did not anoint my head with oil, which is quite an insult. She anointed my feet. You see, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because look at her love. When she knew she was forgiven, she just melted. Which means what? She was very sincere about knowing her sin. Sometimes Catholics go to confession like paying a parking ticket. I did this. The priest says, I absolve you. Whew. I don't have to pay the parking ticket. That's very superficial. Forgiveness lies in love. The one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. The others at table said to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Because you know, we just had the psalm. Only God can forgive sins, you see. But he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Epistis tou seisosinke, which is a phrase that comes very often. Most of the time, I remember the woman with the flow of blood in Mark 5. She reached out and then she's healed, and he says the same thing. Your faith has. Because the word for save and the word for heal are the same word. And so, you're healed permanently means you're saved from darkness. You see? That's what it means. So he says, your sins are forgiven. And they say, who is this? To forgive, only God can forgive sins. Well, why don't they think about that? Well, who does he think he is? They think he's God? Yes, he does, because he is. Okay. But he said to the woman, your faith has epistis sou seisokense, has saved you, brought you to be whole. Sozin means to be saved, to be rescued, but to be made whole. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Imagine, she had to find another way to support herself, but she told the world about what he did. Like the Samaritan woman who had five husbands. Here, our Lord uses this image of a debtor and somebody in debt, like two people in debt. Because, as I've tried to point out, the Aramaic word for sin, one of them, is debt. Now that's why the old English translations had, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Huh? Doesn't mean write off the $20 he owes you. It means forgive from your heart any way that anybody has forgiven you. If you do that, then you know you're forgiven. That was one of the methods. These fathers of the desert were great for these kind of things, like Mary the sinner. They prayed that they would know that they are forgiven. And how do they know that? They pray until they know that they have forgiven everybody from the depth of their heart. And when they see that, then they know they're forgiven. Because that's the fruit of that forgiveness, is to be released from your own sin because you release the debt. And that's why it's called a debt, you see? And the word, as I think I started to mention anyway, salach, to release. Let it go. You don't need the money. Forget it. And God sure doesn't need the money. And he doesn't need our sins. He just forgives the debt. That's why it's such a graphic one. And that's why in the psalm, you see, we have all those words for, I probably can't find it easily now, blessed is the one. It's going to be easier to look it up here, I think. Psalm 32. Asherei, the nashu pesha, the one whose rebellion has been lifted off, and whose hata, his sin, is covered over. Asherei adam lo yachshov, the one to whom Adonai does not impute sin. Those are the sign of all of that. In his spirit, there is no guile. We're all liars because we haven't asked forgiveness and know that we're forgiven. So what do? We pray. Lord, give me the gift of deep repentance. Give me the gift of tears that I can weep over my sins, not because I psych myself up and shed a few tears, but because I get the picture of who I am and what I've done, and what God's forgiveness is, and is overwhelmed by the mercy, the kindness, the generosity of God the Father to just release all my sins, to just wipe them out. And that's the message for this Sunday. Amen.